Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode. So right now I am in Arizona because actually, by the time this airs, I will be back from my trip. But this is my hiking trip to Havasupai Falls. I am so, so excited. And really, gosh, I mean, this whole trip so far has been really fun. So I'm super stoked to get there and show all my pictures to you guys. I think it's going to be fun. So follow me on Instagram at Whitney_Hansen_co. And you can see all my cool pictures from my trip. So really stoked about that. Okay, also stoked about today's episode because today's episode was with my friend Tess Wicks, who is a traveler, and we talk about all things travel, living abroad, all kinds of really fun things. And I personally love the idea of living abroad, but it seemed like a very daunting task. So this episode's really exciting to me because it kind of breaks down how simple it can be and where to go to get some of the information you need to know in order to move abroad. But before we dive into that, it's time to share my favorite segment, which is our hashtag money wins. Today's money win comes from Ashley. Ashley says, finally paying off the final bit of husband's car with bonus from work. That makes $11,000 of crapola debt gone this since December with all the new, oh yeah, that's right. She just had a baby girl. So this is super exciting. Budget, budget, budget for the win. Hashtag money win. Ashley, super stoked for you and super, super excited that you're able to do this with a brand new baby too. I don't know if I would be able to, if I'm being real honest. So congratulations to you and all of your success. That's super inspiring. And guys, don't forget, if you want to join in on the private Facebook group, Manage Your Money Like a Boss, go over there, hang out, say hi, let me know what you're working towards, and share your money wins with me. I love seeing what you guys are up to. All right, let's dive into our guest for today. Tess Wicks is a financial coach and content creator who educates career women who secretly yearn to get complete control of their personal finances. She helps them stop that panic and spend unapologetically. She's a big fan of the anti-budget. You'll have to go to her website to learn more about that. It's really a cool strategy. I really do like it. She also has her background in actuarial science, finance and insurance, and a certification to teach financial literacy through National Financial Educators. In addition to all of that, she has a knack for getting intimate with the intimidating topics of the financial world. Tess is a total badass. I think you guys are going to really enjoy her story and just how she got into what she's doing today. And then, of course, learning from her. She really does have some really great tips to share. In this episode, we talk about Tess's background, her decision to move to Italy, things to think about if you want to move abroad, the strategy that she's personally using to learn the Italian language and live abroad without having to worry about visas, and how to get over the feeling of being on vacation when you're living in a new location. Have you guys ever been in that situation? It's so hard. So, so hard. So I am really, truly honored to introduce you guys to my friend, Tess Wicks from WanderWealthy.com. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. Today I'm joined by one of my friends, Tess Wicks from WanderWealthy.com and the amazing podcast, Wander Wealthy Podcast. Tess, I'm so stoked. Thank you so much for joining with all the time changes and everything.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is my favorite evening pre-dinner routine.
What time is it there for you?
It's just a little, almost 6 p.m. So it's not too late. This is actually one of the earlier ones.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. Well, I know the topic for today. We're going to talk about living abroad, which is something that you are currently going through. And I'm really excited to dive into that. But for people that aren't familiar with you, can you just tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes. So I'm a financial coach and content creator over at WanderWealthy.com. As you had mentioned, I have a podcast. I have a YouTube channel that just hit 10,000 subscribers.
Oh, congrats.
Thank
Big
you.
Big time.
I've been pushing for it. And I blog as well. I think we all have a little blog in us. But for the most part, I work with millennials, mostly women and couples on their finances, doing one-on-one financial coaching, thinking about launching a group coaching program here a little bit. But also have some online kind of DIY courses as well. So the money program and the almost launched invested program to help people make some money in their lives.
I am so stoked for your investing course too. I think there's a lot of investing courses out there, but there's It's either too complicated or too simplified. And I know that with your content, you do a good job of finding that happy medium of explaining it like a BFF and then explaining it like a pro as well. So I think it's really cool. I like your style of writing.
Thank you so much. Yes, the whole aim is like, you don't need to learn how to trade penny stocks or do day trading. Like, that's not something I want to ever educate. And I'm not in the position to educate. It's about long wealth building and doing it the prudent way. And I think most average people just want to be able to make sure they're doing it right. And that's what it's really helping them make sure
100%. They're doing. 100%. So I presume that the course, all the information when it officially launches will be on your website. And Absolutely. Also on your Instagram. I love your Instagram. Yeah. Let's talk about that for
Thank
a sec.
You. Oh, well, what do you want to talk about?
So you, what's your handle so people can come stalk you?
It's Tess_Wix. And pretty much I'm really bad, actually. I try to do stories at least every day, like at least one thing. Sometimes it's a whole boatload because I'm traveling somewhere and have to show where I'm at. And it's good for the memes, good for my mom, too, so she can make sure I'm still alive. But I also do a lot of like podcast promo there and video promo there, too. But I've been so bad at posting on a daily basis, like the picture part, you know?
Yep.
I forget that exists on Instagram these days.
I totally understand. Stories have kind of taken over, at least for my Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's They're just though. Like a whole host of entertainment.
They are. Well, one thing that I love about your Instagram is you share the most beautiful places. And every time I look at your pictures, I'm like, oh my God, I'm adding this to my bucket list. There's always so many cool things. So I love it. So where did this love of travel come from for you?
You know, that's really hard to say. I know that I've always wanted to travel, and my family did quite a bit of like US traveling as I grew up. We did a lot of road trips. We had a camper and we would go like skiing, and I had family in California and Colorado. So we would go kind of around, and sometimes we would jump the border from Arizona where my grandma lives and go into Mexico. But we never went big international ever. I mean, I still haven't been to Canada. Can you believe it? I live like probably like 10 hours, 6 hours away in Chicago, and I've never been.
What? Oh my gosh.
I know. So I think when I was in college, I went to, well, right before college, my dad's best friend from high school had moved to Australia. I don't know. He met a woman, moved to Australia. And so my brother and him saved up in this like big coin bin. Oh, and once that was full, we cashed it in. And I'm sure that didn't pay for like a bunch of our tickets to go to Australia, but my parents made the rest of it work out so that we could all go on this big family trip, first international trip as a family to Australia, which was huge. But we spent New Year's Eve, which is like the hot time in Australia, in a town called Echuca, which is like in the bush country. And it was so hot and the flies would land on you. And I was like in high school. So I was just like, this is boring, but it was amazing. The rest of the trip was amazing. But being in like the middle of nowhere on New Year's Eve with flies stuck to your face was not glamorous for a 17-year-old.
Not at all. How long were you guys there for?
I think 2 weeks.
Oh, good.
We did a road trip. We were in a minivan. I was just, all I wanted to see were the, because I'm from Iowa, so we have like roadkill deer, as I'm sure you do as well.
Yep.
Most people in America probably see deer a lot. And in Australia, they have roadkill kangaroo.
What?
And that was like all I wanted to see was roadkill kangaroo.
That's amazing. You're like, if I see this, this trip was worth it.
I still have a picture of a dead kangaroo on my wall in my childhood bedroom.
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
So after that, in college, I didn't really study abroad because I was very dedicated to my field of study, which was actuarial science, which gets into the finance realm of my life. And I wanted to stay on pace with a lot of my friends who I was going through the coursework with, because we had to take tests outside of our regular college life. We had to take like these tests on top of that. It was brutal. But I found a couple of opportunities to maybe go out of the country. And the next big international trip I took was to Egypt a class. And it was the most amazing experience ever. We were there for 21 days. It was not during the best time of being in Egypt, but we had all of the like our professor was Egyptian. We had an Egyptian tour guide, and it was the best trip I think I've ever taken in my life still to date. And then when I was a senior, we finally did a J term, which is the month of January in college. Just our senior year was the first time they really tested this out. And I was like, I'm going somewhere. So I went to Switzerland, Austria, and then Hungary.
Oh my goodness.
On music experience, doing a class for music. So I always took the like opportunities to get college credit, but also explore something new.
Absolutely. So, at that time, how'd you pay for it? Because I know that's a common thing where students hear that and they're like, I want to, but I don't know if I can afford it.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate that my parents had been saving for years, probably before I was even born, because I'm the fourth. They saved to be able to fund our college education, which was amazing. So anything that I made outside of school, going to school, in terms of an internship or a job, I got to keep and do what I wanted with. And, you know, I also came from a very fortunate situation where if I really wanted to do something even beyond that, my parents would be willing to help out. But I actually had an internship my entire junior and senior year of college as an actuary, where I got paid pretty well. So I always bought everyone beer at the bars, which I'm sure wasn't very financially sound. And then, yeah, I think I used a lot of my savings from that to be able to go on some of these trips. But I do know that there's a lot of opportunities for people who do want to travel in school to be able to get scholarships when it is school related. There's definitely ways that you can apply for scholarships and pick up even like some of these trips. I think my Egypt trip only costed, you know, in total, probably with the college credits, it was around $3,000, which sounds like a lot. But after you include the credits, because Egypt was super, super cheap. I mean, and that was everything. It paid for all of our meals. And then maybe we had to buy the tickets on the side, or that might have included the tickets. They were all, it was very affordable.
Wow.
And there's so much low-hanging fruit when it comes to scholarships out there. I mean, go to your local Lions Club or Rotary Club, and you can get some really good $500, $1,000, maybe even $3,000 scholarships.
Oh, it's so true. Scholarships are one of those things where I wish we had enough time to dive into that too, because that's such an untapped market. And so many students don't even go for it because they think it's not enough money, so it's not worth the time. But it really is. It can be a ton of money if you actually dive into it. One of the cool things that I love about your story is that you found your love for finance, and then you started to modernize it and make it into something that millennial females resonate with. Not just if you're a dude listening, you're like, but I want to, you can still be part of Wander Wealthy. It's okay.
Yeah. It's, we have lots of dudes.
You do. It's true. So one of the things that I loved about that is you took your passion and you built a business that allows you lifestyle flexibility, which is like hashtag goals. I think everybody wants that. So with the business, you recently moved to Italy, which is incredible. Yes. This is like bucket list for people. So give us the basic understanding of like what made you move to Italy, and then how do we start to get our lives financially in order so we can do something similar?
Okay, what a big question.
That is a big question.
I think it all started, you know, I was working in the corporate world and working in finance and working many, many, many hours a week. And all I wanted to do was travel. And I would take every chance I could. I would like fix my vacation days to make sure that I could just do a long vacation so I could hop somewhere and do something. And then, of course, I would take some longer ones to do international travel. And when I quit my job, I was really, one of the biggest things was because I craved that level of flexibility. Yeah. I was living with a roommate who had a very flexible schedule. She was an independent contractor. And so I saw her level of flexibility and I really craved that. And I also wanted to be able to potentially live and work abroad. I mean, after being immersed in a lot of different travel experiences up until that point, I knew there was something deep in me that was like, I want to spend 3 months in Europe, or maybe even 3 years of my life in Europe. But of course, when I quit my job, I had a boyfriend in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, he had a job there and I wanted to be there when he was there and we would go travel or I would go travel, but I wasn't going to get up and leave for months. I know some people do that and come to think of it, I don't know why I didn't, but
I know, right? You should have. It would have been
such
fun.
Is life. Yeah, we do. We make decisions in different ways when we're younger. So that whole relationship played out and eventually ended. And it was kind of like, now's my chance. And then I met a new guy, but he happened to be from Italy and living in Italy. I was like, oh, that's funny. So we ended up dating for a year before I decided, oh, wait, I have this business that I can actually do work from anywhere.
Yes.
And so then, you know, but also I didn't want to be the girl who like met the guy and then moved to Italy like 1 month later.
Hey, no judgment, girl, if you do that.
Also, no judgment. You should also do that. I mean, people should do what they want. But that was, again, playing in my mind. So I was like, okay, we'll see. And I also own a condo in Chicago. So I had a lot of things that I was like, I don't know if this is going to work. But I will say, because of my business did allow me to be flexible, and I can really work from anywhere. I did a couple like trial runs. So I came out here to, now here being Italy, I came out here for 10 days, a few months after we had met, I came out here for a 10 day stint. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later, I came out for a 2 month stint. And then we decided to put the plans in place to see, okay, how can we do a 1 year stint? And that's kind of what I'm in the middle of now. And I think the biggest thing, and this isn't even necessarily like a financial tip, but you're gonna have to figure this out before you figure out the finances part, or maybe at the same time, is figuring out what you're technically legally allowed to do. So for me, as Americans, being able to go to most of Europe, we're able to travel freely throughout Europe for the most part. There's a region called the Schengen region, which includes pretty much all of Europe except for like the UK. So if you're traveling there, you can actually only stay there for up to 3 months within a 6 month period. And that 6 months is always rolling. So I figured it out once, and technically I could do 1 month on, 1 month off, 1 month on, 1 month off for the rest of my life.
Oh, cool.
And never have to deal with like a visa issue. But like, also, who wants to take a flight every single month for 14 hours and pay for that?
Oh, God, that does sound kind of hellish, actually.
I mean, it would be like, some people are like, that's the life. But then I've been doing a lot of back and forth because of family situations since I've lived in Italy over the past 6 months. And I'm like, it's not the life. It is no longer the life. I do not want this.
I know people that say that. I'm like, have you been on an overnight flight? Like, they're not comfortable. Yeah. Unless you're first class, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I have done, one time I travel hacked my way to a business class flight. I also did it once in my corporate job, got them to pay for that.
Sweet.
And laying down is like life changing on an airplane flying around the world. Like, it's just a whole nother thing. So if you can travel hack your way or get your business to pay for it, do it. Take advantage.
So funny side convo. My mom is like hilarious. She's such a funny person. When we went over to Amsterdam and Paris, we're in like basic economy, because let's be real, I'm balling on a budget. So we have these like super cheap seats. And my mom's like, wait, do these seats go all the way back? I'm like, oh, no, mom. No, I'm like, they go partially back, like a few inches. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, how am I supposed to sleep? We're like, that's what we all want to know. That is the true question. We were dying. She's so naive to that. But I love that you have experienced first class and know that you do not want to go back and forth once a month for that. So 3 months, and you mentioned you can be in a country for 3 months with a general visa?
Yeah, with just a general tourist visa, which you don't actually have to get. They stamp it in. That's what they're doing when they're stamping your passport when you enter the Schengen region.
Got it.
So I usually enter through Germany or Switzerland, and they'll stamp it. And then I can travel freely around the Schengen region. And then when I leave, they'll check it. And if I overstayed, I could get in trouble. But usually I time it out, right? I've actually had to use like an online calculator before to be like, am I overstaying? Because you can only stay 3 months in total in a 6 month period. So you have to do the math and kind of figure out how it's going to work. But of course there's ways to get around that. I mean, you probably see all of these digital nomads traveling all over the world, and different countries and different regions have their different rules. So it's just important to be informed, to know what you can do. A lot of people, I think the UK has a 6 month rule, like you can stay up to 6 months there or something.
Sweet.
Out of maybe a 6 month, a year. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know a lot of people will go from the Schengen region to the UK, stay there for a couple of months and then go back. And that's how they can maintain gotcha. That. But if you do overstay your tourist visa, in some situations, I've heard that leaving through Italy, like direct flight from Italy out, can be okay. But again, that's where you're stretching the rules and playing with the law. So you really don't want to do that.
What happens if you did, hypothetically?
Oh, you can't come back for like 2 to 5 years.
What?
Which oh. was not an option for me because I now I have my boyfriend here and yeah, his no family. Doubt.
Crazy.
Who have not left the country. So yeah, you good can get know. Banned. And I'm in a class with a guy. He's an American. I think he's from New York. And I was like, so what's your story? And he's like, oh, I was in Switzerland and then I had to leave. And when I left, I had overstayed. And so they like banned me, but I had to work with my lawyer to come back. Now I have a visa to stay for forever in Switzerland. I'm like, well, how'd you do that? And
yeah.
he's like, I have my ways.
You're like, how much like, did you pay?
I don't care if it was illegal. Tell me.
I need to know. Crazy. Good for him, I guess. I mean, heck.
Yeah. I mean, again, no judgment. Do what you got to do.
You do you, man. Yeah, exactly.
He's now legal, so it's fine.
That's so cool. It out. I always hear that, like the dual passports and stuff too. And I haven't done much research into that, but it seems like there's some really killer options out there. So when you're starting to do your research on specifically Italy, when you moved over there, where like what websites or what resources did you use to help you find that info?
I looked at a lot of blogs to get started and I found a lot of Americans living in Italy. And you'd be surprised if you just search for like American living in X country, you'll probably find a blog because there were for Italy like 10. So I read through a lot of their stuff because, and this is fairly Italy specific, but a lot of other countries are very similar. And you'll even hear people say America is the same way. We've just never had to personally deal with it. But the bureaucracy of being able to be in a country legally can be really tormenting for someone to go through. It's a lot of work, but I mean, you think about it, you're trying to live in their country. And so, you know, I see it as something to be grateful for that I have the capabilities to go through a lot of these hoops and do all of the paperwork and wait in the long lines at the, in Italy, it's called the Questura, to wait for me to be able to stay here legally. So gotcha. There's a lot of work that is involved. I ended up finding, to cut to the chase of this, the whole story, I ended up getting a student visa. And that was just for me the best thing to do because I couldn't figure out with the Italian platform how to do a self-employed visa. And I don't technically really necessarily want to pay taxes in Italy because they're much higher than they are in the US. Mm-hmm. And even with a self-employment visa, I think you still have to have some sort of contract with someone in Italy who's giving you work as a self-employed person. And I didn't want to change the work that I'm doing. And this will be interesting for you. The work that I do and you do as a money coach it's definitely needed in Italy, but like in Italy, they don't have credit card debt or for the most part, a lot of them don't have student loan debt. It's just not a thing there. And so they're going, wait, what are you talking about? Not paying your credit card. You have to pay your credit card. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't. Not in America.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to change a lot of the work that I was doing or have to pick up like a side job to be able to just, you know, live in Italy for the year. So plus I had to learn the language. I mean, right. I should learn the language if I'm going to be living in the country. Plus communicating is just much easier that way. And so we decided to go the school route. And through the school that I picked specifically, they were extremely helpful at helping me get all the documentation that I needed. And they like gave me a checklist of all the things I needed to make sure I had prepared so that when I went back to the States and went to the consulate, which I'm lucky because my home base in the States is Chicago. And so the Chicago consulate is right there, the Italian consulate in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I could just go and hand in all my documents. There's still a lot to gather, but I knew at least when it came to like, okay, what do I need to do step by step? there were a lot of great resources on the internet, which is nice. And I think there's also like the Italian government's website, and they also will walk you through that.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me see if I understand this. So you chose a university in Italy. So it's an mm-hmm. Italian university, and then you're using a student visa to be able to study there and live there, because that's the easier route right. for the visas. Okay. And then, so you get your paperwork, then you go back to the U.S., to the Italian consulate there, make sure everything's approved. They say, yes, it's cool. You can come live there, study there. Okay. So then what are you studying?
I'm studying the Italian language.
So smart. So
it's actually not a university. It's an Italian language. It's a language school, and I'm specifically taking the Italian language. There's requirements, which this is also kind of an interesting hack. Basically, we were also deciding, do I want to go to enroll in a university, but then not actually take classes and maybe take an English class and then take the test at the end of the year and just get a passing grade so that then I can get do another year of school or something like that. And I have like a very strong moral compass. And I was like, I can't do that. That just like feels grimy to me. So, but again, no judgment. We're in a no judgment.
If you do it.
So if you want to do it, go for it. They don't really take attendance. And they're, you know, I think most colleges are like that. It's pretty yeah. much like you're on your own. Do what you got to do. Yep. So, and in Italy, they just have like, I think, from what I've understood, they just have the end of year big exam. So if you don't pass that, then you're not able to another year. But wow. if you pass it, then you're good. They do that in high school too, which is interesting.
So much pressure.
Right. Yeah. So there was that. And then there was, you know, I found eventually, just after Googling a lot, that I could do a language school, and they would actually be able to provide me with all the the documentation and the information for the consulate to get me a student visa. So with a student visa, I'm assuming this is in most European countries. At least I can maybe speak for Europe. I know it's specific to Italy for sure, is you have to be enrolled for 20 hours of coursework per week, which mm-hmm. is a part-time job, right? Yeah. And I, again, really wanted to learn the language, but didn't want to give up my actual work. So the specific school we found actually offered a light version. So it's technically 1.5 hours of class, and then I do self-study, and I'm using air quotes because make that what you want it to be. Yep. And that in total is 20 hours of coursework a week, but technically it's only 10 hours, but then they kind of like chop 15 minutes off of each end.
Gotcha. Oh my goodness. So, okay. The thing that's really resonating for me is where there's a will, there's a way. And if you right. really want to move to another country, get creative and don't be afraid to do things a little bit differently. I love your strategy though. I think that's so killer that you're studying Italian because you want to learn the language, you want to live there. And then that's kind of your ticket in as well. Of like, how clever. Mm-hmm. That's so smart.
Yeah. And I will say there's obviously a price tag to this. So that's another thing, you know, between my boyfriend and I, this was a commitment we wanted to make together. So we paid for the school. Another thing when you're applying for a visa, a student visa, and this also probably applies to a lot of different places, is you need to provide proof of financial ability. Oh. And in Italy, since I'm technically a student, the law is I can't work. You know, I can't go and work at a restaurant for more than 20 hours a week because the other 20 hours I'm supposed to be in school. Mm-hmm. So if I want to get a job, I can on my student visa, but it can't be more than 20 hours per week. And they want you to provide proof, because you're not really here for work, to show that you can support yourself for the length of your visa. Mm-hmm. on a minimum wage salary. And so in Italy, I can't remember what it is, but there's some dollar amount. And then obviously you multiply that by the months of the amount of time you're staying. I got a 1-year visa, so it was 12 months of this dollar amount. Mm-hmm. And I had to show that I had that in my bank account plus funds to buy a return ticket home. So that is obviously a really big thing that people, if they're wanting to do the visa route and like stay in one country for an extended period of time, they just need to have proof to show that they have those funds. And if you're going to do work, like if you're going to be a digital nomad, you're probably going to be making income. And so if it takes like your parents helping you out just to show proof, right. I mean, that is one way to do it. That's what a lot of students do. Cause like, how is a college student supposed to have over $10,000 in their bank account for yeah. their study abroad program? A lot of them get their parents to, I think there's also an option where you can like co-apply with your parents' bank account too, something like that. So there's options, obviously. They just want to make sure that you're not going to be like turn into someone who lives off of the system essentially
yeah.
and then can't get back. They want to make sure you're going to leave, which is funny because in Italy, they actually like young people here because a lot of young people are leaving because it is not the best economy for finding work, which is another reason even if I did want to do self-employed or some sort of employment visa, it'd be very difficult specifically in this economy. So
crazy. Good to know. Good to know. Yeah. So for you personally, what's your favorite thing about living abroad? What have you enjoyed the most about Italy and living there?
Oh my gosh. There's a lot. I think one thing that is really underrated, I mean, I don't know what most people think about when they think about Italy. Definitely not anymore. Yeah. Pasta, maybe like a gondola ride in Venice or walking around the Colosseum in Rome. And I've done that. I've actually not done the ride in Venice, but I've done a lot of, I've been to all those places. I've checked those boxes, except for a few very popular tourist destinations. And although like, I think everyone needs to do it, the best part about living in Italy is being able to go to the towns where no one knows about mm-hmm. and being able to just like eat the food that, you know, was just like freshly picked that morning and like homemade pesto in Liguria and focaccia is just amazing. And the wine is super cheap. And what's really cool, especially about living, I'm in Milan, is everything is a 30 minute to 2.5 hour drive away. So if we want to go to the Alps in Switzerland, we're 35, maybe 45 minutes away. If we want to go to Venice, I think it's 2 hours by car away. If we want to go to the sea and go hike Cinque Terre, which usually we stay a little further north, but if we want to go over to the sea, that's a 2 hour drive away. So it's so easy to kind of hop around and see all these different landscapes. And I mean, that's kind of Europe too, in a nutshell, is you're able to see a lot more. And the States has such beautiful topography, so many beautiful places. It just takes a lot longer to get there. And it's a little more expensive because the States is a huge country, continent, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
that's so cool. Yeah. As you're talking about all this stuff, I'm like, I want to go back to Italy so bad. It's one of my favorite places. It's such a beautiful country. And the language is amazing. The people are friendly. The food's phenomenal if you get outside of the touristy stuff, but it's a mm-hmm. really cool place. So we've talked a little bit about how do we get the documentation put in place and what are some of the options there. We've talked a little bit about the cool things about the country. So I have to personally ask, how do you, as a self-employed person, if you're going there to live there and to study and truly work and just get immersed in the culture, how do you get over that feeling of vacation mode 24/7? Did that take a little while to get used to?
So we chatted about this a little bit before we hit record about me being on like vacation pause. Yeah. But it's kind of interesting. I think you actually get thrown into life. If you want to, you know, get back to work, and once you start going to school, you are out of vacation mode pretty quickly. I mean, it's still cool to like come up from the metro and see the Duomo and see the beautiful, you know, even when we drive through town, I'm like, oh my gosh, the architecture is so beautiful and old. Like yep. these buildings are older than America. Wow.
So cool.
But other than that, I mean, as long as you build a routine, you can pretty quickly be like, this is my normal life. And I think, you know, what I had struggled with actually initially was everyone else thinking I was in vacation mode and me being like, oh, no, no, no. I literally like sit in our living room and clunk away at my computer just like I did back in Chicago. Now I just happen to be in Milan. But then after getting into it for probably like 3 to 4 months, I did start having, it was kind of when everyone else was in vacation mode, because yeah. I feel like July, August, September, people are starting to get their vacation in before the end of the summer. And so I had a couple people coming and visiting. I had a couple opportunities, some weddings, and I was just saying yes to everything because, like, how can you not? Know. You know, what if I have to move back and I don't get to go to Sicily, or I don't get to go meet my cousin in Norway? And I started saying yes to everything. And that really then was very hard on me as a business owner, but it was also hard on me as, like, a resident of Milan and trying to immerse myself. And I actually struggled quite a bit. I don't know if it was homesickness or if it was just me not choosing to be happy in my situation, but I did struggle quite a bit with feeling this level of discomfort with not knowing the language and kind of missing some of the cultural norms, which I still do all the time. Like, there's so many things. Even you see people on the street and you're like, oh my gosh, they're yelling at each other. And they're really just having a conversation. There's so many cultural differences that you have to pick up on when you live in a new place. And I actually really struggled to integrate. And I think a lot of it was because I had treated some of it as, well, this is just temporary. Or, well, you know, this is just a big vacation. And I really had to accept that. That the fact that this is my life, if I want to be happy here and feel like this is sustainable, which is my ultimate goal, I needed to also act as if I was living my life. So I needed to buy the crock pot. I needed to make recipes that included local ingredients instead of wishing we had the ripe avocados that we always have back in the States.
Totally.
Which, like, who knows where those come from, you know?
I know. Don't ask.
Right. And so I just decided, like, I was going to commit. And so I don't know if this answers your question, because it was kind of like, at first, it was not a vacation at all. And then I was very vacation-y. And then I realized that that was kind of messing with my mind a little bit to make me not, like, really enjoying this experience. And now I'm like, gosh, my life is awesome. I live in Italy and I work from my laptop. And
right?
It's so cool.
It is cool. I think the coolest piece is it's very accessible for everybody. And it may be harder for some people, for sure, no doubt about it. And depending on the country you want to go to, of course. But you've made it work. And I think your creativity is what really helped you get to that point. So props to you. The next thing that I know a lot of people are curious about is, in general, when it comes to traveling and just living abroad, do you have any specific, like, credit card hacking? Is that how you were able to afford some of the costs of going back and forth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think having a travel credit card, I think for people who are not going to travel that much, like, just save for a flight. I mean, Whitney, you are the queen of finding super cheap flights to Europe. Like, it is possible. You don't have to credit card hack. But if you're planning to travel a lot, especially internationally, you need a travel credit card because of the bonus points, but also because of the zero foreign transaction fee. Mm. So I want to touch on that too, because, like, thinking about the fact that you're spending money in a different country in a different currency is a huge thing when you're actually living or spending a significant amount of time in different countries. But first is absolutely applying for credit cards that have big sign-on bonuses and just making sure I'm really strategic about how I'm going to hit those minimum spending limits gets me a lot of cushion as far as points in my accounts that I can then go and buy a pretty cheap round trip ticket. I mean, between, like, United and American Airlines, I would not recommend Delta. Their point system is not my favorite. I think some people have figured out how to use it, but I personally have not. United, American Airlines, and then, of course, like, Chase Ultimate Rewards kind of provide you with points that can go to different airlines as well. But between United and American, for sure, you can get a round trip ticket to Europe from probably any major US international airport for 60,000 points. Mm-hmm. And one credit card sign up bonus is usually about 50. And sometimes you can get a even higher bonus depending on, you know, the time that you're signing up, what that credit card's offering. And even my first ever travel credit card, I got, like, the 40,000 point bonus. and my roommate did too. But then we got some flyer in the mail that said, sign up for 60. So we just called them and we were like, hey, my flyer said 60, but I only got 40. Where are my other 20,000 points? Smart. And they're like, oh, we're going to deposit those into your account right now. Like they just did it. It was amazing.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What card was that? Do you remember?
It was the Chase United card.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what are what are your favorites that you found have pretty good sign-up bonuses?
So I have, okay, one of the best, this is for like anyone. You don't even have to go, you don't even have to spend that much on a credit card. The Aviator, it's a Barclays Aviator Red card. I'm not sure which Master or Visa, but it's an American Airlines card. And if you spend $1 and pay the fee of $95, then you get like 50,000 bonus points. I'm pretty sure that's the bonus sign up. Yeah. So like for $96, you can, I mean, pay off the, let's go buy a coffee, pay it off on time in full, pay the $95 monthly fee. You're going to have to wait probably 2 months for the points to get deposited into your account, but then you're going to have 50,000 American Airlines miles in your account. Now, how do you get the other 10,000 points? Well, you can use that card or you can use another card if you find another card to either spend, but obviously just use it for normal spending. And if it's, if you get like 2 points for every dollar, then you only have to spend, well, $5,000. Mm-hmm. That's a lot, but there's ways that you can kind of finagle it and figure it out. And then you have yourself a round trip ticket to Europe for American Airlines.
So smart. And you mentioned being strategic with that. It's for me, what I'm actually looking for is my next card that I will open up to try to travel hack a little bit. And I'm trying to time it. Like I know I'm going to have to do a couple bigger purchases. My fridge is fine for now, but eventually it's going to go out. My furnace is getting older. So it's like, if you can time it, then you can easily hit those minimums. But yeah, I mean, probably don't go into debt over the minimums, but be strategic.
No, it's not worth it. If you go into debt, it's not worth it. Even if you, like, I know a lot of people have commented, I have a really popular video on YouTube and they're like, oh, well, I have a cashback card. And I'm like, but if you're not paying off that balance, then that cash, you're actually paying to have that cash. It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
So credit card hacking, credit card rewards in general are not worth it unless you use it like a debit card and you pay it off. But there's a lot of good. Southwest is also really good if you want to travel domestically because their point system, like you can get 50,000 points if you get one of their cards. And actually, like, I don't know when you're going to publish this, but they have a new thing where if you sign up for one of their credit cards and hit the minimum, you can get this companion pass.
Yes, like, I was just looking at this.
Without doing the full shebang of getting a bunch of points. You can just sign up. It's amazing. It's I wish I lived in the States right now.
Okay, so for people that don't know the companion pass, give them a little context of what that is.
The companion pass is where you just book a flight and then you have a companion and they get to fly for free. They might have to pay taxes, which are really, really low. Yeah, probably $5.60.
Like nothing.
So if you have, like, I love it, the idea of using it if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you do a lot of traveling, especially at our age, for like weddings or holidays and you're going back home and you're traveling together a lot. Or if you just have a girlfriend or a boyfriend in the friend zone, you can still do a lot of traveling together. So kind of, you know, obviously be strategic about who your companion is going to be.
Totally,
but
it's a big deal.
I think it's amazing. Yeah, right. I was so close once and then we broke up.
Oh, that's the worst. Yep, adulting, right?
Like, hold out for the companion pass. Hold out for the... Oh, wait, I don't want to travel home with him. Never mind.
You're like, not worth it. It's so good. Yeah, there's some killer options. I'll check into the Aviator, the Barclays card as well. I didn't realize that was even a thing. So I'll definitely check into that. And for you guys listening in, I will link some of these to the show notes and definitely link to Tess's travel video that she mentioned that's super popular on YouTube. So I'll definitely link that as well. Tess, I've had such a good time learning about this. Travel is like easily one of my favorite things to talk about. So I could go on for years about this stuff. But are you down for some rapid fire questions?
Oh, yeah. Bring them on.
All right. So my first question for you is, what is one purchase that you have recently made that has made your life better?
Oh, probably I have a couple of plants that I have decided to bring into my life and hopefully keep alive. Plants just bring me a lot of happiness. And my, like I said, I decided that I was going to commit to this life and treat it like how I would live in Chicago. And so I bought the plants, I bought the candle, I'm burning the candle. And I think that's how everyone should approach life. Like, don't leave the nice towels and not use them. Don't not burn the candle because it looks pretty. Like, burn the damn candle and then buy yourself a new one.
Yep.
You can do it.
Fully agree. That's a really good point. Living in the present and not being so, you know, I'll save this for a special day. What if that special day is right today? That's beautiful.
Right.
Okay, this is a weird one because I know we just talked about how you're trying to, like, settle in and not travel as much. But what is one location that you're dying to travel to?
I'm always dying to travel somewhere new. So, okay. Well, other than Canada, because I'm just so ashamed that I've never been, I'm really excited to go to Greece because I haven't been. And my boyfriend really wants to do it a completely different way than I think most Americans would do it. He wants to take his motorcycle on a ferry from Italy to Greece. So we have to, like, go in the water, which I get really seasick, so that's going to be interesting. But then we're going to motorcycle around the islands way far north of, like, Mykonos and Santorini and just, like, explore the local life there. And he's been, so he's like, this is going to be amazing. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit of context. I'm obsessed with morning routines. So what does your current morning routine look like?
Ooh, I keep changing my morning routine, but pretty much I wake up not with my alarm. I've been really bad about waking up, committing to myself to wake up on time. So I'm going to get back to that. But I wake up and I try to make coffee right away. And then I sit down and I've actually been doing a journaling exercise. I actually call it JAV, Journal Affirmation Visualization. So I write 5 things I'm grateful for and then do 10 goals of as if they've already happened, like just 10 things I want in my life as if they've already happened. And then this is probably overkill, but I do 15 affirmations of just like a quick how I want my life to unfold. Like mine right now is just I get results. People love my work. I make $100,000 a year working part time.
Doesn't that sound lovely? Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to steal that affirmation.
Go for it. So I write that 15 times, which sounds crazy, but I think the practice of doing that and really telling your mind and having your mind believe that can put you in that kind of vibrational energy. I'm getting very woo-woo, but this is my life lately. Then if I'm feeling it, I will sit down and I'll do a like 10 or 15 minute guided visualization. So there's some really great ones on YouTube. And usually they're like your best day or being like the most rock star you. And they just have you visualize your best day, which I think is really fun to get into that mindset instead of thinking, oh, I have all these things I have to do today and it's going to suck and I don't want to work and I'm tired. Yep. It just takes that all away. And then if I have time, I'll listen to some podcast episode or do something while I make breakfast, or I'll just start working because I feel so good. I just want to get started. So that's kind of what my mornings look like lately.
Beautiful. That's a dang good one. I like your JAV. That's super cool.
Thanks.
Very fun. Yeah. Okay. So last question, and I know that you've got lots of good insight here. In your opinion, what is the secret to financial success?
I think, and I'm going to try to answer this for everyone, no matter where they're at in their financial lives. I think the real secret to financial success, and it will be a money tip, because I could say like, oh, money, be happy, just be happy.
Don't
no,
worry about money.
Let's talk about money. Be willing to do some big things, even scary things. Like people, if you want to get out of debt, you have to look at your life and go, what is the big change I'm willing to make? Am I willing to sell the car and pay off the debt? Am I willing to, you know, move from this apartment to a new one or this house to a new one so we can downsize so I can make that a commitment and then upsize later? And then if you're not paying off debt, if you're trying to save for something, or you're kind of like in a period of, I don't really know what I should be doing, then be willing to take that risk and make an make your first investment, and or invest in yourself and buy a purchase a money coach or a business coach, or, you know, just do the big kind of scary thing that you know is going to move you forward instead of trying to do everything a little bit at a time.
That is some damn good advice, my friend. I love it. I am super excited to see you do the big things in your life too and hit your goals with your visualization. That's like the most beautiful mantra ever. Thank you so much for hanging out. It was truly a pleasure to catch up with you, hear about all your travels, and get some little tidbits for if I ever choose to go international myself, which is, I think, on my bucket list. I think that'd be pretty fun.
You should.
I would love to. But thank you again. I appreciate it. For everybody listening in, Tess Wicks has an amazing podcast. Go check it out. Wander Wealthy Podcast and wanderwealthy.com. Watch her YouTube videos. You will be drawn in, I promise. Tess, thank you again. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Whitney.
Okay, what'd you think? I personally love this episode with Tess. I really enjoyed her strategy of moving to Italy, studying the Italian language so you can learn the language of the place that you're actually living now, and getting the student visa. I thought that was such a killer way to go, and I really appreciated her candid candor there and just sharing exactly what she's doing to make this a reality. Not to mention, her pictures on Instagram are stunning, so anything that I see when people are like traveling and living abroad is so, so cool. So I'm stoked for her, and I definitely took away a lot of tips and tricks for doing this. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed this episode, leave me a review. 5-star, please, if you think I earned it. I would really appreciate it. It really helps the podcast get in front of more people, and it totally means the world to me. All right, guys, that is it for today. Thank you so, so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week for another episode of the Money Nerds Podcast. Bye.